Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday, Cleveland. We are still, and I mean still, awaiting a decision from LeBron James. You have the NFL done. You know, some people putting out the rankings for random positions, and we got defensive tackles today. Everybody get excited. And that's basically your update on the Browns front, plus a little Deshaun Watson news that we're going to get into as well. The Guardians not only finished their game yesterday in horrific fashion, but also played a game today. We're going to get into all of that. And it's Jake Volnick with the guys here from 7 to 11 on overtime. We have running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. It's our Swiss Army knife, Michael Markoch, with us tonight. And a lot of things to climb into, but I did want to go back and re-up and get to a conversation again surrounding LeBron. Because right when you get to a really stale period, right, which was, I think, yesterday, Michael was talking in the back. I agreed with the explanation Michael had. It felt like yesterday we hit a wall. Like, it was, we were stonewalled on the LeBron conversation of just like, there's nothing new to talk about. We've talked a lot about LeBron over the last, I mean, almost, what, two full weeks now? And there's just not many more corners to go down. And then all of a sudden today, well, LeBron's out on the golf course. People in Miami think he's in South Beach. People with half a brain and some realism realize that he's in Puerto Rico. And he's out there golfing with Draymond. And of course, somehow, some way, golfing with Draymond leads you to 6 million different conclusions. I think if I ask any of you what, you know, golfing and Draymond tells you, you're probably going to tell me, oh, well, it probably means Draymond's coming to Cleveland with LeBron. You ask anybody in South Beach what golfing with Draymond means, they're going to be like, they're both coming to Miami. God forbid you ask somebody out on the West Coast, they're going to be like, yeah, LeBron's going to Golden State, which is probably like the most logical of the responses to him golfing with Draymond. If you're going to pick a team, let me let you guys in on a little bit of a secret. I think LeBron and Draymond might be friends. Just putting it out there. Sometimes friends go on vacation together and happen to golf in Puerto Rico. I'm not saying they're not talking basketball. I'm not saying this has nothing to do with anything, but I don't think that LeBron took himself to Puerto Rico and he was like, hey, Draymond, you want to have a secret meeting about where I should go in free agency and you help me come to this conclusion solely just us two? No, he was probably like, Draymond, you want to golf in Puerto Rico on the 9th of July? He's like, yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. And LeBron's like, turns out I have a entire decision to make. Guess that'll have to wait because we're going to go golfing. But I mean, all of this to go and say, it still feels like everything is absolutely on the table, despite everybody wanting to, post the eyeball emojis left and right and claim they have inside information. I don't think anybody really has anything on the inside of this from everything that I think everybody's aware of. There is no real new update on LeBron, if we're being honest about it. I shouldn't lie. The one real update we did get today, Shams Charania on ESPN, getting the NBA ready for NBA Summer League, giving the latest update on what happened with LeBron and now what teams are doing in order to court or get him interested. I don't know how we got to a point where this is what we're doing with LeBron, but somehow, some way, we're just going down to the oddities. I get it. Like, we're not in the time of, hey, we're going to, I don't know, go to live television to do this. We're not to the time where I'm just going to release it to Shams. But now, in order to get LeBron excited, you don't show up in a suit anymore. Apparently, you do this.
All of the information so far has funneled through agent Rich Paul with LeBron James. And so they've been in a process of gathering information. And one interesting wrinkle that has occurred in the last several days is some of the leading suitors for LeBron James, whether that's a Golden State, a Cleveland, Miami, Minnesota, Philadelphia, some of them have been able to send a voice note to LeBron James via Rich Paul. So whether it's an owner, a president, or a general manager, being able to record a voice note, I'm told, send it to Rich Paul, and that makes its way to LeBron James. This is just a part of LeBron James' process of studying as he makes the decision. He has not been in a rush, and it's unclear whether Cleveland or Miami have been among the teams that have sent a voice note to LeBron via Rich Paul. Again, they kind of don't need to. They already had him in their buildings in the recent past.
What is happening? What is this that we're actually going? We're sending voice notes to Rich Paul to play to LeBron? Like, is this a middle school relationship? That's exactly what this feels like. It's like, long text. I'm going to send a voice memo, but I'm also going to send it like on Snapchat so it disappears in 24 hours. Like, that's what this feels like. What are we doing? Like, LeBron, you got to listen to this quick or it's not going to be there, and you're not going to be able to save it to play for the rest of the world either. Would this not just be the most awkward thing? Like, it's one thing to have a face-to-face conversation and make your pitch, you know, make your claim why you should be here. It's another one to imagine Kobe Altman, Dan Gilbert, even Brendan Weems all sitting there, and we're just like, all right, everybody got the part they have to say? Or like you're rehearsing your pitch to him, and you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down. I got the script in front of me, and I'm going to sit in my office with nobody around. I'm like, hey, LeBron, man, it's Kobe Altman over from the Cavs. How are you doing? Hope things are going well. Hope you're staying good on the links. We know you like it over there. Great courses out here. By the way, you're going to love it if you choose Cleveland. You're going to win a championship, all right? You're the missing piece. We really like that's just a really weird conversation to have with yourself. It just feels so childish. I get it. It's like, oh, it's very 21st century. It's very 2026 of the way to, you know, try and convince LeBron. It also just, again, feels very immature at the exact same time. I wouldn't feel comfortable sending that message. If it comes out that the Cavs never sent that message, the memo is never a part of it. Okay. Like, yeah, it shouldn't be the thing that LeBron needs in order for you to convince him. Like, my exact response to this would be like, Rich, why don't you go ahead and give me a phone call? Okay. Me and you can talk on the phone. You can relay the message to LeBron. What are you doing at this time? You're recording a game over, right? That's what we're doing. We're recording game over with Max Kellerman. We can't just, I don't know, take 10 minutes to have a phone call with me and then just relay the message to LeBron. Least you could do is just, I don't know, turn on a screen recording or take some notes on our conversation and then relay that message. I don't think he needs the exact words from me. Just again, it is such an oddity. But again, teams are doing this. I don't think it was odd that Shams chose to mention Miami and Cleveland. The two teams have had them before, but conveniently left out teams like the Warriors and teams like especially the 76ers, who are expected to be more in the mix at this point. I don't think that that's, you know, anything that was just a mistake. Sounds like at least, you know, Bob Myers or somebody over there is sending a voice memo over to LeBron. So they're attempting it. And this is the situation that I think we walk into. And I went and got my hair cut today. I'm having a conversation in the barbershop. And conversation, obviously, LeBron is a sticking point and something that people are going to talk about. So that conversation starts to be had. And I just got this vibe that LeBron picks somewhere else, and people get very upset. Like, if he wants to come back to Cleveland, that's great. But he goes somewhere else. Man, we are not going to like that. Like, to the essential degree of, hey, screw that guy. And it is this sense of, oh, well, LeBron owes it to us, or LeBron's going to pick here. And if he doesn't, well, that makes him the villain, which I am here to refute wholeheartedly. Yes, LeBron, I would very much appreciate him picking here. I want him to be in Cleveland. That is always going to be at the forefront of this conversation. I want it to happen. At the exact same time, LeBron doesn't owe you anything. LeBron doesn't owe anybody a third return to Cleveland. And honestly, wherever LeBron picks, and I said this previously, you know, at the beginning of last week, if it ended up being Golden State, I understand that would rub people the wrong way. I understand that him teaming up with Steph, it is the one, like, I can admit it would feel very weird. I don't know that I would like it particularly, but it's not something I would hold against LeBron. LeBron deserves, in this town, every ounce of grace to play out his career however he sees fit. He does not owe anybody to come back here. He does not owe anybody to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to go play with Steph Curry. I'm not going to do this because it makes you feel weird. LeBron brought this town a championship. He has since left. He left on good terms. There is no guarantee. And I know a lot of people have brought up the idea that, you know, LeBron probably wouldn't be leading Cleveland on in this way and would probably send a message with the leader being Cleveland. And the direct response to that is LeBron has not let anybody on to think this is Cleveland. Everybody has let everyone on to think this is Cleveland. Everybody but LeBron has pushed you in the direction that, oh, it could really be Cleveland. That's really what we're thinking. Like, yeah, we think we're front runners because there's silence on this conversation. And it feels like the last time we got silence on a LeBron decision conversation, it was, I'm going to go back home. Right? It was, I'm ultimately going to land there. I don't know where he's going to go. Oh, it makes sense that at 41 years old, LeBron wants to go back to where it all started. That's all that's pushed this. LeBron has not pushed anybody into thinking a direction. And sure, could he push you off the ledge and be like, eh, listen, it's not going to be Cleveland, guys. Like, that's not going to be one. Or leak something to Shams and be like, oh, you know, Cleveland is pretty much out of the running and just let everybody down easy and probably have done that a long time ago. Yeah, he could have. But this is the point of it. It's like when there is a desire of LeBron, and not even a desire at this point, there is a necessity for LeBron to be here for the Cavs to be a championship contender, like flat out. I don't think you're getting it done any other way. That's great. But it was not LeBron who sat there and basically told you that, hey, I'll come back and I'll try and get you a championship. Those words never came out of his mouth. The Cavs put themselves in this scenario again. And it is where I need to remind people, this is Kobe Altman standing off to the side on his own. You put yourself in the mess and you put yourself in the hole that the Cavs are currently in. You are banking on a player not only coming back and saving the franchise and basically getting your get-out-of-jail-free card, but you are expecting him to also take a massive pay cut in order to do so, which seems like it's likely. Like, I'm not saying it's the worst bet in the world, but you're leaving this up to a chance of luck. That is what Kobe has done. He has operated this offseason as a chance of luck. Like, we look around at most of the other teams that are in this position. Miami's not leaving this up to a chance of luck, although I think that they're probably in like more of a we're going to be good over the next 3 years window rather than we're going to be good next year window. But even Philly, who is very much so in the mix, is like, we're going to build a team that's good without LeBron. And then if LeBron wants to come here and play on the minimum, then LeBron can come here and play on the minimum. And we would gladly, you know, accept that. We're going to try and get him to do that, but we are going to operate in a way that is not dependent on LeBron being here. The Cavs are independent of LeBron being here. So, yes, Kobe Altman, Steph Lin, is stuck standing alone in this conversation where I don't think anybody has the right to be mad at LeBron. He is not your get-out-of-jail-free card. This is a decision being made by a human being for what he wants. He doesn't owe you anything to come back to Cleveland. And if you needed to get a wing, if you needed to find a way to get a true three for this team to be better, well, that was on Kobe to get that deal done. That was on Kobe to figure that one out. That is not LeBron's responsibility at the end of the day. I'll be mad he's not here, but it's not going to be an anger at LeBron. It is going to be an anger probably at everybody inside of the Cavs front office who held on to this attachment, waited for this to happen, and then we're left with no other answers to actually figure it out. Because, I don't know, next best option really feels like it's DeMar DeRozan or Jonathan Kuminga. And neither of those feel like LeBron. 216-474-0092. How much will your feeling change on LeBron if he decides to pick somewhere else? Plus, you guys can get to us on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We have the station buzz, the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today, coming your way at 7:40. Plus, we're going to get into a little bit of Browns conversation coming your way in the 8 o'clock hour, followed up with Get a Grip coming your way at 9 o'clock, as it always does. We're going to talk to Cade Krakus, covers the Guardians for Sports Illustrated at 9:20. Plenty of Guardians talk in that 9 o'clock hour, and we'll get Michael in the mix in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092, how much will your feeling on LeBron change if he decides to go somewhere not named Cleveland? I don't think it should change at all, but I want to hear from you guys. Plus, as well as your calls coming up here in 5 minutes, is there doubt starting to creep in on the idea that LeBron is returning in his decision? We'll get into that as well right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime, asking you 216-474-0092. How much were you feeling on LeBron change if he decides to pick somewhere else? And I'm telling you, mine certainly won't change at all. I really don't think anybody else's should either. Like, again, and that's not to say you can't have a reaction to LeBron picking somewhere else, I'll be disappointed. I imagine everybody in Cleveland would be disappointed, and you should be. But there's a difference between being disappointed at the situation and directing that disappointment at LeBron. I do think there's people going to be upset that if he doesn't come here, and going to flip this into a conversation of, oh, well, why would he do that? Why would he pick what's so much better about playing over there than playing over here? And it's like, we don't have to know that. We really don't need to know what drove LeBron's decision. I mean, it's nice. We'd like the explanation. But the reality is, it came down to the decision of LeBron. That was...
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and start sit advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Is he one man making the decision? Is he one man's whose opinion on it actually mattered? And if he felt like it was important to be somewhere else to finish out his career, if he felt like it'd be nice, you know, to finish his career out somewhere else, not saying you got to like it, but I also don't think you get to pick a bone with it. It is a man who won you a title. It is a man who got you exactly where you wanted to be, delivered on his promise. And he doesn't owe anybody anything to come back to Cleveland. But I want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. Again, how much will your feeling change on LeBron if he picks somewhere else? Let's go out to the phones. Greg is in Strongsville. You're first up. What's going on, Greg?
Not too much. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. What do you got?
So my take is similar in the sense of my reaction will not really change, but that's because I don't have a particularly high opinion of where he's at on most of the things he does to begin with. Let me preface that by saying, obviously one of the two best players of all time, tremendous respect for him as a basketball player, but LeBron has always been about LeBron. You know, people say, well, he won us a championship. Sure, he did. We're appreciative. It was great. But he also left us twice. And he now has an opportunity to come back. And we'll see what he's truly about. And if it continues to be what it has been over the course of his career, it will be about LeBron. And that's fine. And he's earned that right to make that decision. Will I be disappointed? You know, from a basketball perspective, sure, I would rather have him than not. But I also won't be surprised, and it really won't change my opinion of him that much should he elect to go somewhere else.
Hey, there's a lot that I agree with you, Greg, and I appreciate the call. I mean, I think that obviously LeBron in a majority of his career has been about LeBron. Leaving Cleveland the first time was about LeBron to go play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Leaving the second time was about bettering LeBron's life and going and playing out in L.A. and living out in L.A. and having those opportunities, making Space Jam 2. What a tremendous decision that was. But I don't like it's weird because, again, there are a lot of things I agree with, even though I don't necessarily agree with the overall sentiment of the message either. Like, I think I'd be disappointed from basketball reasons, obviously. I think I'm disappointed that LeBron doesn't want to come back here. But even if he decides Cleveland, that's still a decision that benefits LeBron and it is for LeBron, right? Like, coming back home, finishing his story off by where it started and being able to say he ended his career there too. That's all a story that feels like it benefits LeBron. And we also are probably in a sphere, a realm where LeBron does care about what other people think. At least he has his entire career, right? He pays attention to what the overall sentiment is on him as a player. So if people don't like that move, LeBron feels that. He doesn't like to be not liked. I don't know if that matters at this point in his career. I mean, as people age, they seem to care less and less about what other people think. I don't know that LeBron has ever gotten there, though. So it does feel like it is something that still pertains to him. It is still something that matters. But I do think I've reached this point of, it's not apathy, because it's not in a negative sense, but it's just LeBron's going to make his decision. I'm just going to accept what it is at the end of the day. I'm just going to accept that he's going to make his choice. He's going to make his claim where he wants to be. And we're just going to walk back and kind of accept what that decision is. But I do think there's a lot of people who are going to be upset by this at the end of the day. There's going to be a lot of people who, I mean, are just bothered by it. My only retort would be the decision he didn't make necessarily for LeBron. Now, he wanted to win a championship. It was not an individual beneficial thing for him to go to Miami. It was in order to get the team goal done to go win an NBA Finals. Yes, absolutely. And LeBron wanted that for himself. But he was also taking pay cuts.
right? Like all three of those guys in the structure of the NBA when LeBron left the first time. And listen, I'm not trying to defend the decision of Miami. Obviously, nobody was happy about that. You don't have to be happy about that, and you shouldn't be. But I was taking pay cuts in Miami. I think the people of South Beach would probably argue that LeBron has not been about himself in the time that he has spent in Miami. And they are a legitimate threat. Like, I think basketball reasons will probably keep him out of that. But at the end of the day, sure. Like, again, if he makes a decision, it's not that big of a deal. All right, let's go back out of the phones. 216-474-0092. How much of your feeling on LeBron will change if he decided to pick somewhere else? Nelson's in Avon Lake. What's going on, Nelson?
Not much, man. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. What do we got today?
It's nothing about LeBron, and it should all be about LeBron. He doesn't owe us anything. In my opinion, the man fulfilled his promise when he came back, got us a championship, and he's earned. He's earned this. And I will forever be thankful. You know, I'm 55 years old. I've lived in Cleveland now for almost 30 years. It's the only championship that I've seen, probably the only one that I've seen that I will see in my lifetime. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And, hey, if it comes back, great. If he doesn't, good for LeBron, man. I root for the guy. I know that he's not probably the most popular, but I've enjoyed what he did for us, man. And to me, it is his decision to make. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, Nelson. Appreciate the call. And I mean, we're pretty much in lockstep on that. Again, like, nobody is going to root against the idea of LeBron, but listen, we haven't had anybody call into the show that feels like, at least not tonight, that feels like they're on the counter-argument of that. And I welcome that call. I welcome that conversation. But it just does just feel like there's a lot of people that I have just talked to just in casual conversation and just from listening to the station that feels like it has to be Cleveland. It's the only way to end the story. He has to come back. And I don't think those people even would phrase it themselves as LeBron owes us anything. But I think there is like a deep feeling of, I don't know that it's entitlement. I don't know that it's, you know, he has to fulfill the story. But yeah, this is a decision. Again, at age 41, 42, LeBron should be able to make whatever decision he wants. He should be able to make decisions for himself. And I mean, find me a player who has played, find me an NBA player who's gone 24 seasons. Good luck with that. Two, find me a player in sports who isn't making decisions about themselves at that point in their career. Most of the guys don't have the luxury to do that, but as guys age, they're going to do what they want to do. They're going to take their talents wherever they want to take their talents. So, again, great if it's here. If not, it just kind of is what it is. Larry's in Elyria. What's going on, Larry?
Yeah, how's it going, Jake?
It's going pretty good. What do you got, man?
I'm thinking about his options. He mentioned, well, first of all, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, you're talking about Giannis. I get that'd be a former front line, but I mean, the wear and tear, what's happening, injury, what can he hold up? That's the thing about him. But that would be a hell of a front line, though, those three together.
Yeah.
The 76ers, the same with Joel. He's a hell of a player, but, man, I mean his knees are really bad. And that'd be a tough three also there. Then you got Tyrese Maxey also, the guard position. But right now, so I'm looking, I think it's got to be the Cavs. I mean, it's too quiet, isn't it, Jake? I mean, they're working behind Mr. Gilbert.
Yeah.
And Kobe are both. There's something working behind the scenes setting us up for this move. It has to be, and plus some other players involved. So I think he is definitely coming here. That's my opinion.
Yeah, hey, Larry, and listen, I think you're in the same boat as a lot of people right now, and I obviously appreciate the call. I think a lot of people feel like that is kind of the decision here, but like, what is the alternative? Like, if the Cavs obviously had an inkling that LeBron was absolutely not coming here, they'd be operating differently. But if the Cavs were left in the dark, I think they'd be operating the exact same way too. Like, yeah, this is why I phrase it as a get-out-of-jail-free card for Kobe Altman and the Cavs. Because it is the only legitimate wing that they can bring in after they lost Dean Wade. It is the only guy that they can go to get that you feel like makes a dramatic impact to that position. Again, I've mentioned some of the guys out there, like DeMar DeRozan's a fine player. He's not LeBron. Jonathan Kuminga's a fine player. It's an addition at the wing, especially with no Dean Wade. But he's nowhere close to LeBron. They've just left themselves in a spot of having to accept kind of what's in front of them and just get ready to play this part of it out. Like, if you're left in the dark, you operate this exact same way. So I don't know that they know anything. I don't think the Cavs know anything. I think if LeBron would have tipped it off to somebody, like at any point, And this is just the world we live in. There is not people sitting around knowing the LeBron decision that is a part of the NBA. Like, if LeBron has his decision made, which ultimately I think to some degree, if it's not officially made, he has it in some sort of it's down to these two teams and it's probably this team type of decision in his mind already. Like, I don't know. Maybe Savannah knows it. Maybe Bronny knows it. Maybe Rich Paul knows it. But there's definitely nobody inside of the Cavs front office that knows it. Somebody would have that information. I'd be very surprised if we were talking about just tight-lipped, nobody in the organization letting anything out, not telling a single soul, and one of those souls that are ending up being told, not telling somebody where it starts to get around and news starts to get out. I don't think that we've gotten to that point. Clearly, the Brett Siegels and Shams Charania of the world don't have any sort of information on this. I don't think any of the radio hosts in Cleveland have any sort of information on this. Any of the personalities. I think everybody is sitting here guessing. That's where we end up. So if anybody actually knew anything, I feel like all of us would know something. The world of social media is not going to allow that to remain quiet. There are very few things that at this point, you know, don't get leaked on social media. Like, props to Andrew Berry and the Browns, because a lot of times they're operating on trades that just don't seem like there's anything to it. Trading out of two with the Jacksonville Jaguars was very quiet. But even then, like, they're also not perfect. We had inklings of the Miles in the Ram stuff obviously getting out, and Andrew Berry had to talk about that earlier than he wanted to. It's just this thing of, as quiet as you want things to be, things don't remain quiet. There's always something that finds its way to get out. And I think those things would eventually be coming out and actually coming to fruition. Real quick, we're going to get to the station buzz coming up here, but I did want to play Brian Windhorst on ESPN. He was talking about, obviously, is this doubt, this idea of it could start to creep in. And I think fairly so. You kind of put yourself in a spot of, does it make sense? Is there an actual thought that LeBron could go somewhere else? And Windy displaying that across league circles, a lot of teams thinking pretty much the other way when it comes to Cleveland.
What I suspect that is going to be important to him is that he is going to be able to get through the regular season without having to go to extraordinary measures, without having to play 38 minutes a game, without having to take 25 shots. I think Philly can make a compelling case that they would not tax him too much and he could save his body for the postseason and he can build up to the postseason. Philly can make a strong case to do that, but so can Cleveland. Cleveland has a build out just as strong as Philly, and they are home. So, and I mean, that's what everybody out there is worried about, is they're trying to make a compelling case. Can anybody make the compelling case that's more compelling on the roster than Cleveland and more compelling on the home front than Cleveland? The teams out there that I've talked to are skeptical. They don't know for sure, but they're skeptical.
Again, we're going to react to that. 216-474-0092. Is doubt starting to creep in on the LeBron decision? Windy would point you very much in the other direction. We'll get to the station buzz coming up probably somewhere near 8 o'clock. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
What I suspect that is going to be important to him is that he is going to be able to get through the regular season without having to go to extraordinary measures, without having to play 38 minutes a game, without having to take 25 shots. I think Philly can make a compelling case that they would not tax him too much and he could save his body for the postseason and he can build up to the postseason. Philly can make a strong case to do that, but so can Cleveland. Cleveland has a build out just as strong as Philly, and they are home. So, and I mean, that's what everybody out there is worried about, is they're trying to make a compelling case. Can anybody make the compelling case that's more compelling on the roster than Cleveland and more compelling on the home front than Cleveland? The teams out there that I've talked to are skeptical. They don't know for sure, but they're skeptical.
Matt, of course, Brian Windhorst on ESPN. Doesn't sound like a lot of people think they can make a better case than Cleveland. But I want to ask you guys, at 216-474-0092, is doubt starting to creep in when it comes to the LeBron decision? It feels like, and again, this is kind of the way we predicted it out, because it's just the way that it feels. The more and more that goes into this, the more and more that time goes on, it feels like the more skeptical even people here become that, well, he hasn't made his decision to be Cleveland yet. Does that mean that it's more likely to not be Cleveland? And I don't think that we really, this is where I get it. Is I don't know that doubt's creeping in any further than it has been for me. Like I still sit here today. I don't know if it was last week or the beginning of this week, but I had put it as I would probably chalk it up to about a 50-50, 50% chance that LeBron comes back here, 50% chance that LeBron goes to one of the other places, and maybe give a slight edge to Cleveland. Like maybe it's something like 52-48 or 53-47. Maybe it's a little bit of a weighted coin flip, but...
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I still think that's where I sit right now today. Like, doubt has not creeped in any further than it has before. I still think that you look at the other, three teams that are in the mix between Miami, Philadelphia, and I guess still a little bit Golden State. I think all those teams can make a compelling case to something that would be intriguing to LeBron. And when Wendy talks about things that are important to him and not having to tax his body, I think Cleveland and Philly make the two best cases. I think your idea of trying to win a championship, I think Cleveland makes the best case. I don't think Philly would be far behind. And I wouldn't really turn a side eye at anybody or cock my head at somebody trying to say, no, Philly makes a better case than Cleveland. I mean, it's up to preference. They also have a really good team. I would just say, the Cavs have four guys who are relatively healthy, and the Sixers have Joel Embiid, who is their number one player, their best option on the floor, and he's never on the floor. So I think the Cavs get the leg up there, but I mean, between Vijay Edgecombe, Tyrese Maxey, and Jaylen Brown, that's still a really good team. LeBron doesn't have to do a lot of the work. He can comfortably be option number four during the regular season, and the Sixers will still be a really good team. I can make the observation for the Cavs that LeBron could be option three or four for the Cavs during the regular season. They're still going to be a really good team. We just watched that play out. You didn't have LeBron. Dean Wade was option five, okay? Option five on the floor at every single moment he was on it, pretty much. And the Cavs were still really good in the regular season. They were a one seed, then a four seed. Like that's still a really good spot to be. So I get this idea that, you know, maybe doubt was starting to creep in. And maybe it was more yesterday than it even is today. And this is the fun thing about it. Is that everybody starts to, I think, climb onto this idea, climb onto this bandwagon of it's changing day by day. Like, if we think LeBron is flip-flopping between his decision every single day based on something that's out there, and, oh no, he's in Puerto Rico with Draymond, what could that mean? It's like, again, I told you, LeBron and Draymond are friends. I think that's the extent of probably what that means. But I don't know, like, maybe it means something else. Maybe there's something extra to it. But I just don't know how you feel worse about it today than you did a week ago. I don't know how you feel better about it today than you did yesterday. We haven't gotten anything. Unless you think Shams telling us that, you know, teams are sending voice memos is a downgrade or an upgrade for the Cavs. That's about all the information, the true information, updates on LeBron's, you know, decision that we have gotten that is not pure speculation or pure guess. Everybody else is just living in this exact same world. And if you don't believe me, Michelle Beadle of FanDuel TV was on the station earlier today with Afternoon Drive, and she took her best guess at what the, you know, decisions for LeBron are going down to.
It really felt like this thing was being set up for him to go to Golden State. And I actually found myself getting kind of excited about it in sort of like a nostalgia tour vibe way. And then when Draymond redid and didn't the extension and he's redoing the money so that it can be a little more team friendly, I just thought, well, that just reeks of he's going to bring his buddy to town. And we know they love playing with each other. We know Steph and LeBron, like they had such a good time in the Olympics. We all watched it happen. And it, I really did. And I still, I think, do in my heart of hearts think that's going to happen. But man, when Brian Windhorst, of all people, comes out and says Cleveland, I'm like, well, that has some merit to it now and seems a little heavier than most reports from insiders just because of who it is and how close he is to all of that. So I guess I'm down to between those two, but I'm genuinely tickled that we find ourselves in this predicament in his going into his 24th season that we're doing this again.
And like, listen, there is no rap coming from me on Michelle Beadle. I'm not going to put down anybody who thinks it's down to this team and this team. But, like, I could call up any single insider. Not legitimately. I mean, like, I don't have the ability to call up any single insider. I promise you, if we called Adam Schefter right now, he would not answer. But, like, in theory, I could call up any single insider And if we called Shams, he'll probably tell you it's down to Miami, Cleveland, and the 76ers. You call up Windy, he might throw the Warriors into that mix. You call up somebody else, Brett Siegel might tell you, the Sixers have no real chance. But everybody is just sitting out here speculating. We are taking the assumption that, Minnesota's not in the mix. As he could be sitting here being like, T-Wolves sound pretty good. We just wouldn't know. He could just go play for New York. I mean, not actually, because it feels like Rich Paul kind of stamped that one down. Is like, there are 29 teams LeBron could go to. That one is certainly not one of them. But I would imagine it's probably down to, again, I would leave it limited to the four that we've talked about throughout the last 2 weeks. Sixers, I think, are on the table. Miami and Golden State, as well as us. But I really don't know that anybody out here is just doing anything more than guessing. I just want to try to push away this idea of doubt creeping in, because I really don't think there should be a reason that doubt creeps in. I don't think there's a reason that confidence creeps in, other than the fact that it makes sense. But if we want to go out for another, maybe it takes another 2 weeks for LeBron to make a decision. If we're just going to somehow make it, it makes more sense now, 2 weeks of this, of the Cavs still not doing anything, for LeBron to come to Cleveland than it did before. No, it won't. It's not going to make any more sense. It didn't make more sense today, again, than it did last week. It's still the exact same scenario. Nothing has changed. Legitimately nothing. The Warriors have done nothing except, I think they signed a player on the veteran minimum today. But that was the extent of that. The Sixers aren't making any more moves. They're pretty much filled out at this point, just leaving a roster spot open for LeBron. The Heat are not making any dramatic changes. The Cavs are not making any changes at this point. It's just the options on the table. Nobody is shifting the game. And I highly doubt the voice memo being sent to LeBron through Rich Paul is going to be enough to be like, you know what? I didn't think of that if I'm LeBron. Again, he's trying to think through, I'm sure, every possibility, every situation. It's just a matter of getting the decision out and having that decision made. I do think that LeBron's just in a spot right now where he's willingly taking his time. I don't know for a fact that it's made up. I would take a just pretty good guess that it's probably pretty close to made up if it's not officially. But I think what LeBron's doing right now is enjoying his offseason, enjoying not have to worry about being on a team and have to think about basketball. And LeBron's like, you know what? Why don't I basically just go and take a couple week vacation before I commit to anything? Right? And I feel like we have players do this. Star players in every sport do this to some degree, where it's like, you know what? I'm just going to try to relax and allow the decision not to be made for me, but to come to me naturally. I'm going to put myself in the most relaxed state possible, and then I'm going to think it through with a clear head. LeBron is coming off of second round of the playoffs that he had no business getting to on paper. They had no business beating the Rockets with the team that they had out there, but LeBron willed them to it. I'm sure last season took a toll on him. I'm sure his relationship with LA took a toll on him. And he's like, I just want to get away. That feels like is what is happening right now. We see him on social media having fun. He's driving around golf carts in Puerto Rico, bobbing his head to music and just having a good time. We see him out at golf shops around town, and he's just making jokes at Kevin Hart. The man is just having, his summer. Legitimately having his summer off. And it feels like everybody's trying to dive deep into everything that's happening. It's like, LeBron could meet with Anthony Edwards tomorrow. Guys, it doesn't mean I think he's going to the T-Wolves. Maybe him and Ann are just closer than we thought they were. Again, that one would be a little bit weird because I don't think they're friends. But if he met with Kevin Love tomorrow, I wouldn't be like, here we go. Kevin's coming too. It's like, no, he's probably hanging out with a friend. If he meets with J.R. Smith, he's not coming out of retirement. They probably just decided they wanted to go golf, and that's somebody he can at least learn a thing or two for him out on the course. It is just all of this playing into obviously just people being skeptical of everything, but it's everybody just conjuring up any idea that they possibly can and thinking that it actually leads you somewhere when in reality we know it doesn't, right? We all just want to play the game. We all want to dive down every single nook and cranny we can get to think there's an answer hiding in it, but you're essentially exploring an empty room. You're like, anything in this corner? It's like, Michael, you checked that corner four times already, okay? There's nothing in that corner. You can dig beneath the tile. I can tell you what's there. It's dirt. It's cement and dirt. Those are the only two things down there. And you're going to be like, but look at this groove on the cement. Look at this. This has to mean something. It's like, no, LeBron is on the other side of that door, and he'll be here when he wants to make his decision. That's where it gets to. This entire idea of driving ourselves crazy over it, and I get it. Like, it's what we do. It's part of the fun of it, right? And I don't blame anybody for having a good time with it. Absolutely do. If you want to break down and be the conspiracy theorist in the situation, I'm enjoying it a lot on social media. Please keep posting about it because it's getting me through the times where I'm not working. I just get to scroll on social media and have people in Miami basically try to break down palm trees. Okay, like, don't think it's necessary. Don't think it means anything. But it's a lot of fun to watch people drive themselves crazy about. So go ahead. But that's all anybody is doing. You're driving yourself crazy in this situation just to not have an answer. We talked about it a little bit last night. I think part of the reason why LeBron is not going to make a decision on this and it gets leaked out and it seems obvious because Shams is going to report it, an hour before it actually ends up being true and everybody else gets a hold of it. I think LeBron's probably going to try to find a way to monetize this or at least make it bigger than just a tweet from an insider. Right, like I would assume there's some sort of monetary attachment because why not? You can make the money off it. Whatever podcast show post on social media is going to do exceptionally well from you making a decision, no matter where you're going. But you're gonna want to do it your own way if you're LeBron, and in every single stop he's done it differently. But LeBron has done it his own way. Obviously, none of us liked the decision, but it was incredibly unique to the scenario that most people had put themselves through when they decide where they're going in free agency. He continues to do that, right? And when he came back to Cleveland, it was, through a message to the city, basically. He wrote a letter and getting it done. I think you are going to get a unique way this is done, but it's going to be a LeBron way that it is done. So you might as well just sit there and refresh his social media and just keep hoping. But I don't think you should have any doubt. 216-474-0092. Is doubt starting to creep in on the LeBron decision? I say you shouldn't have doubt. You shouldn't have confidence either. But you guys can chime in on that. Plus, we're going to get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today. Coming up in 5 minutes with the Station Buzz on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.